Good morning and welcome to episode 178 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Toronto, Canada. Yes, out on the road again. I'm David Hine of Hine News. Thanks for stopping by. It's a little bit of a Canada show today, this week. We do have a couple other things, but we're going to touch a little bit on Canada, Canadian hoops. Before we do that, kind of want to, just let you know how you can get in contact with the show. There's, Twitter is probably the easiest way, and that is, HEINNEWS, Hine News. And then there's, the podcast Facebook group, and that's Taking the Charge Podcast. You can put that in and, come on into the group. It's a nice little gathering there. And of course there's a website, hinenews.com, and the email address is hinenews@gmx.de. Also on the website, there's a little button on the right side. Also on the pages, for the podcast, little button on the right side, you can donate, a little bit of money if you feel like, you like what we're doing with the show, and that helps me able to be doing things. Makes it possible to do more trips like this, and you know, down the road, help with technology updates, help software updates, help and what have you. Go ahead, do that. Be fantastic and help make sure that taking the charge sticks around. All right. So as I said, a little bit of Canadian dominated show this week. Before that, I do want to throw some current congratulations out to Brose Baskets Bamberg. I had a I was able to get to that game, and where they played against Barcelona, and it was probably, I'd say, I don't know if necessarily the biggest, one of the biggest victories in their history, but it's up there definitely. They've had three really strong wins, this top 16 in the EuroLeague, and winning at home against Žalgiris, and then beating Olympiakos in Greece, and then winning at home against Barcelona. And just looking at the standings, I don't think many people would have had Bamberg being fourth ahead of Real Madrid, Olympiakos, Barcelona, and Žalgiris. If you had that, hey, congratulations. You should be going to Vegas and not wasting any other time. Just get there and go do that. So congratulations. I'll run a quick interview I had with the general manager, CEO of Bamberg, Rolf Beyer. So here's that. Enjoy, and we'll catch you on the other side of that. Rolf Beyer, we are here. Barcelona game. You guys won 76-1 at home in the EuroLeague. How's it feel to get a really, really big victory?
Just give me a knock in my face, because I can't believe it, to be honest. In German you say, zwick mich. The Žalgiris game at the 8th of January was a historic point for this team, and winning the first top 16 game. Piraeus and this game, this is just, it's unbelievable, and you see how much chemistry, how much substance is in that combo, in that company of a team. They come from a valley out of Moscow trips with heavy qualification games, and even the Würzburg game last Sunday was a tough one for us, because it can be very tricky over there. If Drew is tricky, if he's going to shoot, then you might lose that game. But they controlled it, and I'm really proud that they regenerated, and now they're back.
You have wins over Olympiakos and Barcelona. When do you think about starting to dream?
I don't know, maybe game 13, if we are up by 3 wins or so, then I start thinking about that. Like in that game, I was thinking on the win 8 seconds before the end. Yeah, I think if we just look on our standings, we are doing a mistake. That's what we maybe mentally did in Moscow. We have to achieve, we have to do something, and then they got stuck in their own mentality. If you release the guys and say, do your game, play your game, then they're free, and that's what they did today. They played amazing defense. Even if our shots didn't come in the beginning, they just stick to their way. And it came by the time, and everybody contributed to that success.
I think after the Shagiris game, coach said at the press conference, you know, there's a small flame of hope is still alive and burning. This small little flame. How much bigger is that small little flame?
It's the same size as before. For me, for our sports director, and I tell it to the team and the coaches as well. We have to compete in the league, in the domestic league. We have goals in the domestic league. We have a tough program. I have some clues how we're going to play our schedule, even if we come to the next level, but it's going to be tough with the schedule. So it doesn't make sense to look on that one for me. Just game by game, and then we keep our mentality.
How happy are you that you're going to get Bayern in the cup in the first game?
Okay, I think my happiness would be a bit bigger if it had been another draw. But if you want to win that cup, you have to win any game. it's silly, but it's a way to do it. Bayern is coming back. They are doing a good job, and it's going to be a really tough one. We have our next program with Tübingen, Vitoria traveling, then we go to Kreuzheim, another Weißenfels game. A lot of games, maybe not the biggest games, but we have to keep our rhythm. And then Saturday, 5 o'clock, 19th or 20th, we will see.
Last question, as far as roster goes, everything's set? Are we starting to think, okay, maybe we need to get one more player somewhere, or what does that look like?
If there's no issues with the players, like injuries or something like that, we're not planning to do anything. Sure, you have to, if you want to achieve something in EuroLeague, you have to deepen your rotation by one or two players at least. So right now we're playing with 10 or 11 in the rotation. Money is finishing, and it doesn't make sense to make big efforts to achieve any small kind of thing. And we're happy with what we have, and the strategy goes on for the next 3-5 years, and we see where we are.
Right, good luck.
Thank
good
you.
Good luck and congrats. Okay. So Toronto, what am I doing up here? I think I mentioned I'm at the NBA All-Star Weekend. And NBA All-Star Weekend, and have also there's the Jordan Brandon Invitational, where two American high schools are going to be playing two Canadian high schools. The American high schools are Redondo Union in Redondo Beach, California, and Oak Hill Academy over in Martha Wilson, Virginia. And those two are going to be playing Henry Carr and Orangeville Prep. Orangeville Prep, ring a bell, of course, from previous podcast. The Makers and Jamal Murray were playing there last year. Murray's obviously moved on to Kentucky, but the Makers are actually playing with Athlete Institute. And I had a chance to catch a game of theirs. So that was another thing on the bill. And then also, obviously, there's the weekend All-Star Game festivities, and the Basketball Without Borders camp, global camp. So plenty of basketball to be seen and enjoyed. And so I, but I had a chance to, you know, go see Athlete Institute out at Bill Carruthers. I was hoping to see the Makers in action, but it ended up that that neither of them played, and that neither of them played. But both of them will be in the BWB Global Camp, so I have a chance to kind of see them in action there. They are due to participate in the camp, so we'll see them there. But did have a chance to talk to Mature Maker, who's the younger brother of the two, 98 born, and then also I had a chance to talk to Ed Smith. I had a chance to talk a little bit longer to Smith, but I didn't include. Not going to include everything. Just want to kind of include the portions that he talks about Mature. And then talked to a returning guest on the show. Hung out at the game with Sonny Barrios of CanadianBallers.com. And so kind of just run down those interviews. I'm gonna start with Mature Maker. This is my chat with him. Again, 1998 born. Move on to the next one. So, but catch you on the other side of that. So, Mature, we are here at Bill Cruthers. You have the BWB Global Camp coming up. Maybe talk a little bit about how you feel right now in your season.
I think right now I feel really confident in going in because I've been really prepared, you know, working on my game, staying sharp, and working the mistakes that I did from last basketball that boys we did in Dominican Republic. So, you know, I got to see a lot of mistakes and feedback from the coaches. So I got to learn from that. So fix a few things up. So I feel ready.
You've been here now in Canada and north of Toronto now for a little bit longer now. How you feeling comfort level there?
Feeling alright. Still a little cold, but getting used to it. Just try to get in the gym every day. I think that's the best thing. Yeah. And then school at the same time.
How is school for you? How do you like it? You have a favorite subject at all?
Yeah, it's good. My favorite subject right now is English. So loving it.
A good reader? You like to read?
A little bit. Uh-huh. Read and write. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have like favorite books, favorite authors, or favorite whatever?
No, I like working with poems. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got a good poem that you like?
I can't say right now.
Okay. Actually, to be honest, looking around on the internet, there's not much about you. We see a lot more Thon out there. Also, you know, he's out there on social media as well a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself. People kind of know Thon a little bit through the social media that he's permitted, allowed us to kind of get to know. Tell us a little bit about Mature Maker.
So, for me, basketball-wise, I'm a point forward. That's my position. And with the social media stuff, I like to stay off that because it's a lot of distraction right now for me. Oh, you're the little brother, you know, you're in the shadows. I just try to stay off that and, you know, be me and do my game, like work on myself. So, yeah.
What are you? You said you're a point forward, but what kind of person are you?
I'm a nice person.
Hopefully. Seems like it, though.
Yeah.
You've gone through the same travel, the same journey. Let's call it a journey. Looking back on all of this, what are your thoughts about all of this?
Right now, it's a lot. I mean, just got to get used to it, like from places to places. I think I got used to it a lot, moving a lot. So it's been a great experience being alongside Thon and Coach Smith. So yeah.
There's a lot of younger brothers who kind of draw a little bit of a motivation of playing against the older brother, but there's also the let's call it an advantage of learning from the older brother's mistakes. And what kind of aspects of those two things do you think you take with your relationship with Thon?
With Thon, I think I take a lot. Not just on the court, but off the court. There's so many little things that I just pick up off of him. And also on the court, there's a lot. And right now, since I'm out, I've been picking up so much things from him, starting from the point all the way down to our bench. So it's been a great experience.
Mature's been hurt.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel physically? How much are you? How disappointing or frustrating is it knowing that you're not able to really go out there and do what you like to show everybody?
It was really, really disappointing. I mean, like, I'm just fired up every time on the bench, especially the games. The last few games were lost, starting from like two weekends ago. So those were some games that I wanted to really play, some matchups that I wanted to, get some stops against. So that was something that I wanted to do, but yeah, unfortunately it didn't happen. So yeah.
Maybe talk a little bit about Global Camp, what you're expecting. You guys have 3 days with, some really high-level players, some high-level coaches and camp directors. You were there in Dominican Republic. What you're expecting also, what you're expecting from, let's say, the Europeans, from the Asians and South Americans, what kind of competition level in general, what are you expecting from this camp here?
I'm expecting big things. I'm expecting the camp to be like really tough because it's an all-star camp, so I think like a lot of good guys are there. I mean, so it's an all-star, so you just got to go there, do what you got to do, learn a lot. I'm going to learn a lot, especially from the coaches and also some of the NBA players, assistants and stuff like that, even trainers also, even if you might not know that. But
how to stay healthy and
maintain. Things like that, yeah. How to protect your knees. I mean, since I'm pretty tall, so, and that's a big factor in the league, so a lot of guys get hurt, so I just got to see how to, prevent those things.
You mentioned point forward. You're a little bit injured right now in general, but where do you see your game? What are the things you're really working on right now that you really feel like you want to improve?
Right now, I've been working on just being a point guard, just relax, pace. Been working on my ball handling each and every day. I miss a day. So just, picking up from different guards, just learn how to really dominate my position.
So you really want to be a guard then?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep. Is there anybody that you're watching, either NBA, European, anywhere? I mean, are there guys that you look at and say, I mean, you can't look at necessarily a Chris Paul because he's not your physique, So are there guys that you look at?
Right now, I was looking at Gary Payton back in the old days. Uh-huh. So, and a little bit of Magic. So I've been watching a lot of those, trying to pick off like the littlest things they do. So that's been great. And also right now, the current player, Kevin Durant, LeBron, which they take their time and, that's just what the league is, just relax, do what you have to do. So it's been a great experience.
You have a chance to ask one question to LeBron. What do you ask?
That's a question. Not really. I have to think about it at the moment.
Maybe talk a little bit about college. I know you're not there yet necessarily, but and I don't want a choice where you want to go, whatever. But how do you want to use college, the college experience, to take your game to the next level?
I think right now, since I got a couple of years ago, just gotta keep working each and every day. I know it's gonna be tough once I get there. And, just try to pick off, see how Fawn does and things like that. And however he does it, I get feedback each and every day. Just like right now, I get feedback from different games. So that'd be a good thing. I would like to have my own team, where I can work off and get better at the position I want to be. Like, I want a team that can also be like, hey, you the point, you run the show, where I can learn from there and to the next level.
Obviously, it's going to be strange when he's not there, let's say next season, and you're here. What do you think it's going to be like? I know this season's not done yet and there's a lot to go, but what are you thinking about, Ethan? What that'll be like next year?
Next year? I think it's going to be tough because I've always played it. It's like I was always under his shadow, so I was never there. He didn't really know me, so now me having my own team, it's like starting from the bottom. So you got to start all over again. All the little things. You got to be the guy. You got to try to get as much wins as you can. And it's going to be tough, but I'm going to go through it.
I am an international. I'm a FIBA basketball reporter, so I have to ask some just a little bit of international stuff. So you're a 98. That makes you eligible to play for the FIBA Oceania U18s this summer, qualifiers for the 2017 2017 U19 World Championships. Thon was unable to play at the World Championships last year, the Under-19 World Championships. Is that something that you even sort of have a you're looking at right now? How much, as far as national team stuff goes, is that even on your mind?
Not really. Just I try to go day by day as the high school season go, but I don't really look much into that. I just try to do me every day, just stay off that. Okay. But it will come later on, so
yeah,
see how it goes.
Come back here. What do you think is the best part of you guys coming up to Canada? You know, there was some different choices. I know Coach Smith said, you know, maybe there was a thought about maybe going to Australia after you guys left the States, but then, you know, you were up here in Canada. You're right on the doorstep to America, so you can come and play the games here. What's been the best thing about coming up to here? You know, you guys are isolated up in Orangeville, where there's not much to do. But what's been the best thing about all this?
I think the best thing is just having a little small circle. Try to stay off the distractions. Like me, I stay off social media. I don't try to get on that because you get caught up in that. But I think overall with the basketball, like basketball wise, I think the competition has been really good with the grind session that they came up with. I think it's like a mini college, so that's something that can prepare you for college. So that was something good. I think it's a great place, though. It's small. You really have nothing to do but school and basketball.
Stay warm.
Stay focused. Yep.
All right, I'll let you go there.
Okay. You know, quiet kid, you know, personable, cordial, personal, reserved a little bit, but a pleasant young man, and like I said, I really can't wait to check him out to see what he can do on the court. You know, like I said, that he was actually the biggest reason why I wanted to go. Of course, you know, wanted to check out Thon as well, but you know, I was really looking forward to seeing him. Because there's, you know, there's a little more immediate national team issues with him, that he might be playing for Australia, maybe even this summer. So kind of wanted to check him out, but for sure it was nice to chat with him. So let's move right into then Edward Smith, who's the legal guardian. Coach Edward Smith is the legal guardian of both Thon and Mature. This isn't going to be the full interview. This is just going to be kind of I asked him to kind of talk about Mature so I'm going to let it go after when he's done with that. I think we'll run more on it, more from it later when he talks about Thon and other things. But so this is basically Ed Smith's about Mature Maker, kind of focus on Mature in this episode. So enjoy that. We'll catch you on the other side.
Well, I'll talk about Mature first. I think the dynamics of Mature is that he can probably guard four positions on the floor, from the one to the four. He's our toughest defender. Really, he's when you say he watched Gary Payton, I didn't even know that.
Okay.
You know, so I know why he gets after it. I know he watches Michael Jordan on defense. He's got downloaded a lot about that, and he watches a lot of tape about practices. So he's the student of the game. I think a lot of people will be shocked about how good he is. But when we're at the Dominican Republic, I think the coaches were really surprised. He was about to be the MVP. You know, he had a little ankle tweak and so forth, so we pulled him. And then Thon won the MVP, so that was going to be his MVP because he was playing. I mean, people were shocked how good he was. You know, the coach was like, whoa. You know, and that's what you hear. It's consistent. Yeah, where he's so versatile with the ball. He's a big guard. You know, he doesn't have the frame to play a four or the five at the next level if he wants to be a pro. He can play either the three or the one. He shoots it well enough to play the three and the one. He doesn't shoot as well to be the two. But he's a nightmare. He can defend. You know, so he's the new NBA positionless basketball. He's working hard on his skills. So his future is going to be great. I think he's more suited for, like, if we were to say someone who may not go to college and would go international route, he's more of a kid who could play in a place like France, mm-hmm. where they kind of see the game from a different light. They're willing to use people at different positions and so forth. He's a kid that could play internationally. So his path could be college, but his path could be pro. Also,
so that's a serious consideration then
for him. It's a serious consideration for him because he's versatile enough with the ball. Mm-hmm. He's versatile defensively, mm-hmm. you know, and so his path doesn't have to be the collegiate route, such as Thon, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of that. And that's something that gives us a chance to see, investigate as Thon moves forward. So for him,
as Thon moves forward. Okay.
Yeah, as Thon moves forward.
How that works.
Whether it's going to be college and view what they do mm-hmm. with Thon in college and so forth. Mm-hmm. But in terms of Australia, yes, Oceania, we should have time this summer.
Okay.
His academics, we're trying to speed Thon up to get him qualified. We're able to get done with all his coursework, but not take the SAT. So we get everything done in 2015. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't able to do his SATs and so forth, SAT prep courses. So that's
so what you want to put Thon at the Oceanas?
I didn't know the Oceanas were coming up.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to see him. I want to try to investigate mm-hmm. to get him on that team, mm-hmm. you know, because I think it will be great. And I want to see him at the 19s, yeah. you know, that, you know, in terms of the following year. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's really good for him.
Yeah, if nothing else, just to see how he compares at the 98 level internationally.
Yeah. Against the crew. I think a lot of people will be surprised. He's a tough son of a bitch. Yeah. Seriously. I mean,
I wish I had seen him, man. I really. No, but I'll check him at the camp.
People get a chance to see him. Really, he gets after it.
All right. Be fantastic if he's able to make it to the U19s, and I'm sure that would relieve the Australians as well, knowing that that they're going to line up for the Boomers and the Green and Gold. So that'd be good. Yeah, it's like I said, there'll be more from Ed Smith in future episodes, but I kind of wanted to kind of focus a little bit more on the mature. Let's move on to Sonny Berrios. Kind of a spontaneous interview. We were hanging out at the game and we're driving home, and I said, well, let's just do a little talk now, and you know, get a little bit of a rundown on Canadian high school basketball, and then we also talk pretty in depth about the Canadian team that will be going to the under 17 World Championship this summer. So again, Sonny Berrios, CanadianBallers.com. Enjoy that, and of course, on the other side. All right, Sonny Berrios, welcome of CanadianBallers.com. Welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here, Dave.
And here's your car. After we took in Bill Carruthers going down to the wire at home against Athletes Institute, unfortunately without the Makers. So I guess first of all, it seemed to me that you know, okay, you have Nikola Djogo,
Serbian Canadian, Notre Dame commit.
You have him, but really not a lot more. In my eyes, there wasn't. I mean, there were a couple of, you know, all right, decent guys, but you know, not anything that international audiences are really going to see. In general, you know, you've seen Orangeville, and you've seen Athletes Institute. Maybe because those are the two, you know, biggest name programs kind of right now, thanks to the Makers, thanks to Murray and stuff like that, and Poyser and stuff like that. Maybe talk about how you see the development of those two programs in general.
Yeah, the recent success of Canadian basketball, a lot of it is coming out of Toronto, the province of Ontario. And this year marked the first year of this Ontario Scholastic Basketball Association, which has a lot of prep schools in a 7-team league. So this is the first year. I'm glad you got to witness, you know, a game tonight. And in regards to that league, Orangeville Prep and Athlete Institute are sitting 1-2 right now. They've gone head to head once, and Orangeville's beaten them, but the Maker Brothers didn't play. They're definitely the cream of the crop of this inaugural OSBA league, and real interested to see them lock horns next week.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, because I think that's probably going to be the game changer on who's going to win the regular season title. But like the NBA, you know, regular season's one thing, but it's going to come down to the championship to see who really is better of them both. But definitely they've only grew since the last time you were here about a year ago. More high profile talent, and again, I'll say it again, they are currently the cream of the crop of this whole prep league in Ontario.
One of the things that I, you know, whenever I talk to, you know, somebody in Spain, or whenever I kind of like look at the different domestic leagues, you know, I try to see about, you know, how the countries develop their youth, and one of the things that kind of I think we talked about this last time as well, is, you know, the kids aren't staying here. Especially then, obviously, for college, but, you know, even for high school, you have, you know, Montferrand has a couple of the couple of the biggest names. Huntington has one, you know, but, you know, it's been a, you know, as soon as they explode, whatever, and even sometimes before that, the teammate has exploded, whatever. The another high school, you know, or college prep school, will come in and snatch them all up. The question that I want to maybe pose to you is, do you think that these two programs and maybe the direction that it's kind of heading right now, is it any closer to maybe keeping kids in Canada longer?
Definitely. I think the landscape in Canada at the high school level, you see a lot of juniors and seniors go south of the border, to, you know, to challenge themselves against maybe more elite competition. And the better players, the more talent is at the younger grades, like the freshmen and the sophomores. So that's a trend that has been going on maybe like the last five to ten years. And this Ontario Scholastic Basketball Association was formed to kind of reverse the trend. You know, Athlete Institute, Orangeville, you know, Bill Crothers, you've seen today, they all travel as much as the school south of the border. It gives these kids an opportunity to get a taste of that, and also stay home and go home on weekends. So I think that, you know, to kind of keep our juniors and seniors here, this prep league was mandatory. And not only do the teams feel like that, our federation, Ontario Basketball, is behind this, Canada Basketball supports it. So I think it's kind of a groundbreaking league in that sense, where, you know, hopefully the trend reverses and you do see a lot of juniors and seniors here, because, you know, the last few years you go to see these household programs and you're always saying, oh, imagine this team if they had, you know, A, B, and C. And you know, that kind of, that question of how good would they be is getting tiresome. So, you know, definitely I think things like this OSBA and these Canadian teams traveling extensive schedules south of the border will kind of start to reverse that trend. And I think the direction will get back to where it was maybe 15-20 years ago, where the best kids stayed in Canada till their graduation.
You mentioned Canada basketball, maybe coming from them, or what I know. We actually talked earlier in the day. You said that the federation is pretty financially, you know, strapped. You know, there's not a lot of funds there available. What about the financial wherewithal of this association, of this league? Is there a financial component there to make it, you know, to make sure that it sticks around?
There is. It depends on kind of like each program and their kind of, excuse me for lack of a better word, ownership. You know, Athlete Institute in Orangeville, you know, they're pretty reputable for having some deep pockets over there. Bill Crothers has, you know, tremendous community and community support. I think the more deep pocket owners you have, the more stability you're going to have with longevity. Another thing that these programs are really doing...
Do they pay into a pot, though?
Do they pay into a pot as in, like, for the entry fee to the league?
Yeah, or, like, for the administration of the league?
Yeah, they don't really disclose those logistics.
Okay.
You can kind of... It doesn't take long to tell who's the teams with the deeper pockets.
Uh-huh.
The OSBA does a real thorough screening of teams coming in. It's not just you have entry fee, registration money, and you're in. They want to see, you know, how you guys do your business and what's the layout of this program for the next 3-4 years. One other thing I forgot to mention, what these guys are doing a really good job of, is bringing coaches north of the border, whether it's to their open practice or to their games. A young fellow on Orangeville Prep, Khalif Young, you saw him at the Worlds. He had Duke Brass in to watch an OSBA game in earlier January. Today, you know, multiple coaches from the Horizon Valley were at the Henry Carr and Athlete Institute game, or sorry, Orangeville Prep game. So, you know, that's another, if the old saying, if you build it, they will come. It's actually they're living that out, you know, because a lot of coaches, the amount of coaches that have come north of the border to watch these practices and these games have spiked, and it's ultimately because of the prep programs and, you know, what they've poured into their programs and kind of built for these kids.
We're not any closer to keeping kids in colleges in Canada longer, though, are we?
Oh no, that there's no traction there. I know that's something every time we speak you kind of see if it's progressed. You know, out west there are I wouldn't say scholarships, they have a lot more access to bursaries through boosters or whatnot. You know, a lot of the Ontario programs can put together similar bursaries to maybe cover 80% of your tuition, but ultimately at the end of the day these kids want to go D1, and yeah, the CIS programs are still a ways. They still have a ways to go. Maybe, you know, thinking outside the box a little more, they can reverse that trend. But unfortunately, I can't give you good news on that front, Dave.
Later podcast. We're obviously one of the main reasons why I'm here in Toronto is for the second annual BW Basketball Without Borders Global Camp. There's 4 Canadians listed, and maybe you can give us a sort of a rundown on them. Shai Alexander, Abu Kijab, who actually some people may have seen last summer at the U19 Worlds. And then there's Anthony Longpre and Lindell Wigington, who you actually mentioned. Sorry for not actually remembering this, but you actually mentioned him in that previous appearance on the show. So give us a quick rundown on maybe those 4 guys. Yeah.
All four of those guys are 1998 born. Definitely have international national team potential. Start off with Lindell Wigington. You know, a lot of people have him as the top point guard, born in 1998. He originally is from North Preston, Nova Scotia. Made the switch last year to Oak Hill. Kind of was a reserve. got his lap around the national circuit, came back this year, has really benefited from the injury to Harry Giles. It's kind of gave him an opportunity to showcase what he's about. He's the leading scorer on a team that's ranked in the top three in America, so he's a real exciting player. You know, probably the best blend of athleticism and shooting ability of any player in his class, let alone guards. So Lindell Wigginton is the big name there. There's Anthony Longpre. He's a 6'9 redhead from Quebec, bilingual. He made the switch a couple years ago to a small school in Maryland.
Très bien.
Yep, he made a small school in Maryland. It was conducive to him learning more English. I think he's kind of outgrown that school. No word if he's going to make a switch, but I can imagine, you know, a player of his caliber, 6'9", soft hands, deft scoring, touch around the rim, he's probably going to make a high-profile switch of schools this summer. Abu Kijab is enjoying his first year in the States this year. He plays in Napa, California, alongside American prospect blue chipper Josh Jackson. So he spent last year in Canada, had a breakout year, made the switch south of the border. 6'7" guard. He's a Sudanese Canadian. His dad was a 6'8" Olympian swimmer. Great defender. Has an offer by Kansas, so that kind of speaks volumes of his potential. And then there's Shai Alexander. Shai is a 6'4" point guard, kind of has a thin body stature similar to Rajon Rondo. I think he's a better shooter than Rondo. He kind of reflects what's going on here in Canada. There's a problem with Canada where we don't call our, whether it's talent, basketball talent or musicians, we don't call them great until America does. Shai was never very highly thought of here in Canada. Made the switch to Hamilton Heights in Tennessee. Played on a national circuit. Was the starting point guard. They're a top 25 team in America. He's got a University of Florida offer. And why I say he's a reflection of what's going on in Canada is there's a lot of kids like him who are under the radar. And Americans are taking a chance on him. And they're getting these offers. Like SEC Florida is nothing minor. That's pretty big offer. So you got Lindell, Anthony Longpre, Abu Kijab, and Shai Alexander. Four kids born in 1998 with just no ceiling on their potential. And I'm actually interested to, I know you're very familiar with the international guys. They're going to be in a camp 3 days with them. I'm actually interested to hear your feedback in you telling me how these guys compared or looked among, you know, these 50 plus international prospects expected to arrive here any day.
Well, that would be the next podcast.
All right, so another reason why I wanted to figure it'd be good to chat was because of the upcoming Under 17 World Championship, FIBA U17 World Championship in Spain, a site to be determined as of yet still. Obviously, people, you know, some people may be aware that Canada jumped out to a big lead in the U16 finals, 21 points at the beginning of the second quarter, and ended up losing. But looking at, if nothing else, thinking about that result and looking at the pretty highly regarded list of schools where the kids are going, it would seem to me that the talent really has only gotten better. So I kind of wanted to maybe get your opinion of maybe a main rotation of top eight, type nine guys that you see making that team from Team Canada. Obviously there's Simisola Shitu, and then also RJ Barrett are the two main guys. But just kind of maybe go down the road where you see maybe as a starting five and maybe the first two, three guys off the bench as of this
take right now?
My pleasure. Just want to touch on Canada basketball. You touched on, you know, them being strapped for cash. It's no insult to them. It is what it is. We're not USA basketball. We have to do things cost efficiently here. And, you know, I got to give them credit. They've implemented a youth academy where now they're identifying talent at a younger age, bringing them to camps. And I think that has paid large dividends, reflected by, you know, the result last summer. You know, Canada was never a shoe-in for second place in FIBA Americas, and they've put together, you know, three or four consecutive tournaments, finishing second. And even though we became a shoe-in for second place, we were never competitive with the States. And, you know, it was real exciting last summer to have the States on the ropes, down 21 in the second quarter. Fortunately, you know, things turned in the second half. But a lot of this group that you're touching on, you know, made switches to prep schools, whether it was in Ontario or south of the border. So I think these kids, man, have really showed significant strides in their games because of it. Simi Solashitu, 6'9", he's doing his prep in Florida with the reigning three-time champions Montverde. He's a lock to be in the starting lineup. RJ Barrett's his running mate in Montverde right now. Again, another lock. So you got Simi Solashitu, RJ Barrett are pretty much locks in the starting lineup. At point guard, we have Andrew Nemhart. He's still playing here in Ontario at Andrew Wiggins' old school, Vaughn. I'm sure he could handpick any prep school he wants to go to. He's probably penciled as the returning starting point guard. There's been names, you know, Jalen Llewellyn was on the team last year. You know, John Kabongo and Marcus Carr were on the team last year. You know, John Kabongo and Marcus Carr, especially Marcus Carr with the ACL, they're going to be hard-pressed to guarantee their spot on the team. There's young kids like Stephen Smith, who you saw today. He's had a sensational season. He's probably a real threat to become a starting point guard on this team. So you got, you know, Nemhart, Barrett, Simi Solashitu. We had a 6'5 small forward who is getting some interest from Harvard. He does his he plays in Ottawa. I think he's not a guarantee to start at the starting small forward spot. We have Ignis Bradzikis, who's a 6'7 small forward shooting guard. He plays at Orangeville Prep, Lithuanian Canadian, very highly touted, has an Oregon offer. And then at the 5 spot, last year we went with a small lineup. I think Simi played a bit of the 5. So I think the Canada will do the same. Probably use Danilo Djuricic, who actually started at the 5. Simi was at the 4. But Danilo Djuricic, I know for a fact, could handpick any prep school in America. But, you know, his logic is, I can play school in Canada and play AAU with CIA Bounce and play summer ball with Team Canada. I don't need to go there. So because of that decision, he's always going to be kind of under the radar in say, ESPN's eyes. But Danilo Djuricic, 6'7", stretch 4, utilized at the 5 with Team Canada. But I think pretty much the same starting lineup will return. Questions are, is if Noah Kirkwood at the small forward position will continue to start, or will maybe Ignis Bradzikis come in there? And then Andrew Nemhart. Everybody in Canada thinks he's a lock to start, but, you know, Stephen Smith's the name that, you know, is creeping up the depth charts and has a real fighter's chance of starting at point guard. I think he fits the system of Canada real well, and I think he turned you into a believer today too, right?
Let's talk about him real quick. Actually, before we talk about him, I was doing a couple other interviews, and you had a chance to talk to him. I was hoping I could talk to him, but you know, you kind of you did a good job, and so why don't we just run the interview really quick that you were able to do with him, and then we'll come back and then talk about that.
Hey, man. Just talk about your season as a whole. Many say it's a breakout season for you. What's the difference this year? Just maybe a leadership role you're taking on?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking a big leadership role on our team, being a grade 11, knowing how it is. Last year I played up on the senior team, didn't get a lot of playing time, but This year, I'm taking the leadership role, taking charge, and making sure that our team is in the best position to win games.
Can you just verify your height and your date of birth?
6'1", June 27th, 1999.
Are you playing with a purpose, you know, with that Team Canada opportunity on the line?
Yeah, you know, I am, but at the same time, I don't really think about that when I'm on the court. I always got a chip on my shoulder because previously Canada, Ontario, they never knew about me and never gave me an interest about me. So it's just a result of my hard work. And when I'm on the court, I just prove it. I prove that I'm the best player on the court.
Yeah. Your breakout season kind of started with that game winner in Montreal, but I'm sure it started long before that with some early mornings. Just kind of talk about the work you've put in to get to this point.
Yeah, I'm usually in the gym three to four times a week. In the morning, an hour and a half before everyone. So I just want to work hard, want to be great at what I do. And obviously, I had to step up my game, so I just had to put in the work and the extra time that people aren't doing.
Now, a lot of people are using the Kyle Lowry comparisons.
Yeah.
You see a lot of similarities in your game. Is that someone you kind of model your game after?
Yeah, I model my game off of Kyle Lowry. He's a very gritty point guard, tough, can shoot the rock. And he's a great leader, and he has a lot of passion in the game, and that's one of the big comparisons between me and him. I love basketball, I love the game, and I just show it on the court.
Marcus Carr, in your AAU program, you guys have a relationship. He had a similar season last year. Was that you guys keep in touch and feed off each other?
Yeah, we're cool. You know, Marcus is a great player, obviously. He's very talented, very athletic. I think we both have similar games as well. And it's good because I compete against him. I know he's one of the top point guards in Canada, no question. So every time I play, I got to prove that I'm the better point guard, and I got to prove that I'm the best player in this country.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now 2018 class is for guards. Is that you think you're right up there with top point guards?
Yeah,
in the
I think I'm right up there. Some people probably don't have me ranked or anything, but I don't really care about that. When I step on the court, rankings don't mean anything. Prove it on the court and one-on-one battle, we'll see who wins.
A competitor like you, those competitive juices, got to be tough, these narrow losses, but, you know, eyes on the bigger picture still. You guys are one of the younger teams, right?
Yeah, we're one of the younger teams. We still are just looking at the playoffs, and, you know, all this is just part of the process. Coach always says it's always part of the process. We got to learn from our mistakes and how to handle late-game situations so we can win the final game of the season.
And your recruitment, any teams coming in showing you harder urge? Working harder for your services than the others?
Northeastern was one of the biggest programs out there that really approached me. Hawaii approached me early September. And then other schools are in contact with my coach, like Oregon, Harvard, and some other schools.
Yeah, personally, I think it's a crime if you're not in Spain, but I'll probably see you in Spain. We're on the AAU circuit. You're going to be with the Kings again?
Yeah, I'm probably going to be with Northern Kings, playing with Coach O'Neill Kamaka, 16U.
Gotcha. You think maybe you'll experience playing up a bit?
Yeah, I probably will play up. And Marcus is obviously on that team too, so that would be a great experience. Last year, I played up with the 16s in Vegas, and that was a great experience for me. Competition was crazy down there.
Yeah, last one, Coach Charles, tell me what, you know, for kids out there that want to make the similar switch to you, that you did and play here, you know, to play for Coach Charles, you know, what do you got to bring to the table?
You have to make sure you're ready to work every day. Coach pushes me every day, pushes our team every day, and he's a perfectionist, just like me. He demands perfection, demands execution, and he's a great coach. He gets in your skin a lot, but, you know, he's just doing it for the best of you, and I love Coach Charles. He's an amazing coach.
Well said. And what block do you represent here in the GTA? What city? What area?
Ajax,
Ontario?
Yeah.
All right, brother, pleasure. Right. Treat to watch. Keep it up,
all right,
eh?
Thank you,
all righty, man.
Ciao.
Okay, so, you know, I'm happy that you were kind of talking that you know, you seem to be putting out this Lowry, Kyle Lowry comparison, and people were kind of getting tired of it, whatever. You know, I watched him for like 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I was like, you know, hey man, do you know who this guy reminds me of? And he said, Kyle Lowry. I'm like, exactly. You know? And I remember actually seeing Lowry, and I told you this as well. I remember seeing him when he was 18 at at least the year 18, whatever, when he was Albert Schweitzer. I don't know if Stephen Smith is as strong as a rebounder, but that's also because Lowry was physically a little bit bigger. But the first question maybe about Smith is then, you know, you're kind of on the train right now saying that, you know, you wouldn't be surprised. Would you be surprised if he isn't on the team? If everything, because okay, if Carr, whether or not Marcus Carr comes back and is up to the same level, would you be surprised if he doesn't make the team for Canada right now?
You know, I think that's an understatement. I'm going to say this, and I say it boldly and confidently. I think it's a crime if this kid's not on the team. Ultimately, our goal is to compete with the United States, and, you know, you need guys with competitive juices like this kid. And, you know, he's demonstrated that all year, regardless what matchup he's in. He went head-to-head with a highly touted 2017 point guard and, you know, won that battle. He just continues to put up, you know, efficient shooting performances. His floor game has vastly improved, where I think he demonstrated that in front of you today with some, you know, nice dishes. You know, this kid, he has a lot of similarities to Lowry, not just body stature, but just that, you know, Lowry plays with a scowl on his face with a high level of passion and enthusiasm, you know, on both ends. And I think those are the ingredients that you can't turn away when, you know, you're playing a sly Lithuanian team or a number one ranked Bosnian team, and ultimately those Americans. You know, some kids can get frozen. Stephen Smith's the ultimate opposite. He's going to relish the opportunity. So, you know, I would be shocked, and I think it's a crime if Stephen Smith isn't selected, you know, to play on that team, let alone, you know, possibly start.
So where exactly was he from again? Or is he from, actually?
He's from Ajax, Ontario, the east end of Toronto.
East end of Toronto, okay.
Yeah, similar stomping grounds as, you know, Corey Joseph, the starting point guard for our men's national team.
Okay, and he mentioned that, you know, Ontario basketball, Canada basketball kind of didn't give me, you know, that much love or whatever, respect. Why do you think that is? I mean, you know, it seems to me that you know, Canada basketball, you know, they're doing so well with finding everybody. How do you think that a guy like this kind of like slipped under the radar?
I think he was always coming in. He was a scoring first type of guy. Like I said, he's vastly improved in his floor general game. So maybe they always viewed him as an undersized scoring first guard. I think he's kind of, you know, been given the keys and the green light from Bill Crothers, head coach, and he's kind of ran with it. You know, Canada's pretty stacked at the guard position. I mean, there's kids that have made the switch prep that are a little more taller, a little more household names. You know, I always reiterate to the kids, it's not how tall you are, it's how tall you play. And, you know, evident today, this kid's 6'1", but he plays, you know, like he's 6'4". So he did mention he's been overlooked by Ontario basketball and Canada basketball. I'll say this much. He's definitely on Canada basketball radars now. And, you know, this time of the year, ranking shuffle, I think earlier in the season for 1998 born, he was in and around the 10 to 15 area.
99 born.
Sorry, 99 born rankings. He was in and around the 10 to 15 area, and I think he's going to catapult up to the, you know, the top 10 for sure. And like I said, he's definitely on Canada's radar, and if he isn't, then that's a problem.
It would seem to me that, you know, the main thing is to win and have the best players there. Do you think there's any sort of chemistry thing at all that, you know, that I mean, or would they, if he makes a team and you have some of the other guys, you know, that have been on the team in the past, I mean, you know the guys you know, quite well, and is there anything that you think would maybe be a chemistry thing at all? Or,
you know, speaking with you over the years, you've kind of laid out how basketball European countries work, and you know, chemistry might be an issue because these European countries have the privilege to play with each other annually in more competitions.
chemistry, the European teams might have an edge. I hope there is no friction. You know, there's a lot of alpha dogs on this team, and there's only one ball. So I hope that Coach DeVero is successful in, you know, not letting any egos or friction amongst each other get in the way. So chemistry and cohesion is a concern, something to look out for. But I'm telling you, Dave, pound for pound, this is probably the most talented Canadian squad we've had at the U17 level, and I think globally, it's right there with Bosnia and United States. So yeah, there is chemistry and cohesion, but I think, you know, talent and that pride to represent Canada is gonna, you know, overpower that.
All right, I think with that, we'll call it an
one question for you, and I'm sure your viewers want to know, what is the delay in the location for this U17 Worlds, and are there any possible destinations like Madrid or Barcelona that are being rumored about?
Well, I don't know the exact reason why a site has not been named. I know of a couple of things why it's kind of being delayed, but the concrete reason why it hasn't been named, I'm not exactly sure. There are four sites that's been known for, I think, almost really pretty much since they announced that they were hosting it. One of them is Madrid. One of them, which I'm hoping for, is like a coastal site because I want to get on the beach,
like a Seaches or something.
I
don't think they have the facilities, but
and then I don't remember the other two, but you can see that's online. That's on FIBA.
And confirmation, the U17 women's tournament's going on at the same time.
It's correct? Going on at the same time, and I think the women start a day earlier and the men finish a day later.
Gotcha.
I don't know if it's at the same facility, if they're... but it's 16 teams, four games a day. All four teams from all the four groups go to the round of 16. And it's gonna be a hoot.
It's gonna. What's your podium? Last but not least, I want to hear your podium going into the summer.
I think I gave you my podium before tonight. Online tonight.
I'm setting you up for the Canadians here.
You know what?
This is an international guru of basketball right here. He's gonna give us the podium, Canada. Let's hear it.
I think I had a podium, a non-determined order, but the three teams on the podium, I think I had were. We're USA, Canada, and Bosnia.
It's coming from the international basketball guru, Canada. You heard it.
But
David Hine.
But I will say, you know, up by 21 points. you lose a 21-point lead. You don't beat Venezuela in the semifinals. So there's some concerns. I think we talked about this as well. This thing is a very, very important tournament for these Canadian players. These Canadian players in particular, that they at least get a medal, because if they, you know, if they get bounced by a, you know, pretty decent Turkey team, for example, or the Lithuanian team is very good as well, I would not be surprised at all if they make it to the podium. But, you know, if they lose to like a pretty good European team, you know,
fair enough.
It could linger, you know, and winning at the NBA level or whatever, you know, that's one thing, but, you know, winning at the international level, you also have to kind of experience that, and that's, if you get it right away, that's what makes these American teams so tough, is that they have all this winning tradition and everything else. So
just rest assured, this edition of the U17 Canada, we're coming where this is the longest, most skilled team, and it's podium or bust mentality with these kids. So, and deservingly so, I think they've earned that situation, and I hope we're talking here in August, talking about this group being gold or silver champions.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Pleasure, Dave.
All right, fantastic, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, obviously, you could tell Sonny did the interview with Stephen Smith. It was funny because, you know, really 5-7 minutes into our watching him, you know, mainly kind of, you know, sitting on him and watching him a little bit, there's a lot of Kyle Lowry in there. And so it was funny that he I guess he's been, you know, touting that comparison for a while. And nice little player, and be exciting to see what he does down the road. See if he's able to make the team for Spain or not. We'll have to see. Let's see if I can find that right now. Mentioning the in the interview, we were looking at trying to find out which are the cities in Spain that are up for consideration. Those are Madrid. Come on, I'll call up Madrid, Saragossa, Galicia, and Costa del Sol. Madrid, Saragossa, Costa del Sol, and Galicia. Hopefully they decide that soon so that I know where I'm going this summer. Looking forward to that, and help see that whether or not Smith is able to make it. That, you know, he's got the game. He's a nice little player, and have to see what happens. All right. I know you guys might be wondering if I'm going to make some comments on the FIBA stuff, the Champions League, FIBA Champions League, FIBA Basketball Champions League. I'm going to save that for another show. Maybe when it just gets a little bit closer to maybe what it's actually going to look like or not. And so I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to call it a show. And we'll wait to talk to you next week. The song you're going to listen to now is a song called Canada. How fitting. Canada is by Low. And it's available on freemusicarchive.org. Go check them out. They're great stuff. They always have great stuff out there. So with that, I bid you farewell. And we will talk to you next week. When I am actually back in Germany. So until then, be safe, be well, and enjoy the EuroLeague NBA All-Star game and anything else you're watching right now. So talk to you next week.
This is Andy Routins playing for the Frat Boy Skyliners, and you're listening to Taking the Charge.